All right, welcome to Ed Show number 60. And today in the news, I am running solo as Simon is out on vacation and Rick and Joey are out on the road. And today, because we had the Windows Azure general availability on April 16th, I thought that I would dive in and show you some of the key new enhancements that we've made since preview to general availability in the virtual machine space, so that you who are familiar with the preview can just dig right in and know the changes. All right, pretty much can cover everything that's new by just going into creating a new VM. And when we go in, we choose new compute virtual machine. You'll notice, hey, we're no longer in the preview underneath virtual machine. And when we go to the gallery, you'll notice there's a number of new images there. So specifically, what you're gonna see is the SharePoint one, for instance, a number of new instances of BizTalk server. But those are some of the new things that are there in general availability that weren't there before. We'll go down and then choose a new virtual machine. Okay, here, I'll just create a general name, SharePoint VM. And then this is a new thing as well. So if I type administrator, okay, you'll notice that that username is not allowed. That is a new thing for general availability. You can't choose admin or administrator, security reasons, right? You know, that is a common name for folks to hack. So I'll just put administrator new. Put in a password. You still need to put in a secure password. And then one of the other new things that we have is the core sizes. So if you look down here, we have, right, an A6 and A7, as we're calling it, with 4 cores and 28 gigs of memory, or A7, 8 cores and 56 gigs of memory. Those are both new. We also announced pricing reductions for our virtual machines instances. In this case, I'll just choose small just so we can kind of keep going here. And let's choose next. And then, of course, you can, you know, nothing really new in this space. You can join to an existing domain or an existing virtual machine. I'll just do a standalone one. We'll choose next. And then, the next thing I want to point out is the availability set. So now, finally, in Windows Azure, we have, with general availability, we have an SLA. So for our SLA, as long as you have a VM in an availability set, meaning you have at least 2 VMs in one availability set, that availability set will have a 99.95 SLA. And that is a financially backed SLA, and we count downtime if it's 5 minutes or more, which is unlike some of our other competitors. And that is averaged over the course of a month. So that is our SLA. That's what's new for GA. And I think that really covers all of the major things that are new for infrastructure as a service from preview to general availability. With that, because I have SharePoint here, we are going to dive into SharePoint on Windows Azure and dive deeper as to what that looks like for you to run that in your environment. So stay tuned. All right, welcome. Continuing on with the Edge Show and SharePoint on Windows Azure. And today I'm joined by Paul Stubbs, who I like to say is our SharePoint on Windows Azure guru, but I'm sure that's not your job title, right?
Yeah. Actually, I'm an architect on the Azure Center of Excellence team in MCS.
Okay, so you do all kinds of stuff with SharePoint and architecting crazy, big, all sizes of SharePoint stuff, right?
Yeah, we've done some very large implementations of SharePoint. We hosted all the hands-on labs for SharePoint conference in the cloud on Windows Azure, so that was pretty large.
Okay, so well, today I am going to try and pick your brain a little bit for the audience to get a 15-minute chunk of wisdom on running SharePoint on Windows Azure here.
Yeah.
And so first off, though, I think a common question I get a lot of times is, you know, what why would I run, let's say, SharePoint on VMs in Windows Azure versus, let's say, SharePoint Online, where I just host it all in the cloud?
Yeah, I mean, that's a great question. It's very common.
Yeah.
You know, it's the same reason for SQL as for SharePoint. There are times when you want total control and you want to run that platform on-premise. And then there are times when you want to gain more efficiency and cost and agility, so you run that as a software as a service. So you run Windows Azure SQL Database or you run Office 365. But then there's sort of a middle ground where you don't really want to host your own hardware, but you still want some degree of control or there are features in the SaaS version that aren't in the on-premise version or so on. So for example, let's say you want to have transparent data encryption in your SharePoint farm. That's not a feature that's currently available today in Office 365. Mm-hmm. So that may be, if that's important to you, a choice for you to move to the cloud, but still own and control the whole platform.
Yeah, well, and then of course there's a number of other benefits, right, with Windows Azure in general. So you can spin up and spin down resources. Like you mentioned, the hardware thing, so not everybody has an infinite number of servers,
yeah, right?
And so all those goodnesses. But I guess, you know, why don't we maybe dig in a little bit to some kind of sample reference architectures that I know you've cooked up here, mm-hmm. For folks to get their head around what building a SharePoint in Windows Azure might look like.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah.
So here what we have is, you know, kind of the basic building blocks of building virtual machines in Azure. And we start with kind of wrapping everything up with a virtual network. A virtual network kind of ties together all of our virtual machines. It gives our IP addresses. It allows multiple cloud services to communicate with each other. And cloud services are really a container for multiple virtual machines. And the cloud services give us the endpoint or the DNS entry point for our farm. So in the case of a simple example like this, I have couple of endpoints open on port 80, and those are being load balanced to the virtual machines in the first cloud, the cloud service. And I can also open other endpoints, like by default, an endpoint is opened up to 3389, which is, as you know, RDP. Mm-hmm. But if we look to a real kind of implementation of SharePoint, we can see how that kind of those basic building blocks are extended to build a real kind of production level farm where we have, you know, full high availability, full failover, redundancy, scalability that the cloud brings us. And in this case, we can see that we have a number of WFEs or web front ends. These generally serve up the web pages for your SharePoint farm. We have a number of application servers, which host central admin and host a lot of the services, such as, you know, the Word services, Excel services, index services, things like that. Those can be on the web front end. And then we have a number of SQL boxes that are hosted in the back end for our content databases. And those can be, again, in a high availability mode, such as, you know, mirroring.
Okay. So this is one sample configuration. What is the general, like, would you say the general template you would use for this one? Like, I mean, what is a good starting point as this reference guide, right?
Yeah, so this is sort of the classic, you know, N-tier farm of SharePoint. This would probably get you up to, you know, 20,000 users or more, and then you can definitely scale out from there. This gives you a load balanced endpoint into your web front ends, and so that traffic being load balanced by Windows Azure comes into this back end. Now you can also connect this either to AD, your own AD instances like you see here, or through the VPN tunnel in the VNet, which allows you to connect back to your on-premise AD. So if you're doing some sort of like intranet kind of scenario, you could do that.
Yeah, so this looks like the scenario, since you have that VPN tunnel there, where you want some kind of fault tolerance perhaps, or cross connectivity between your cloud service and your on-prem service, let's say for AD and or whatever you have going on with the apps. Yeah.
Yeah, and okay. Also, like, yeah, let's say you're running SAP or some on-premise,
right,
platform that, mm-hmm, you want to do a hybrid scenario where you still need to call back into that, the VPN works out really good for that.
That makes sense. So, and one of the questions I had here as well is, I mean, how does somebody know roughly, like, what size VMs I should be using? And obviously there's a scale up, you know, or the scale out kind of option within SharePoint. What are some general guidelines or practices around that?
Yeah, well, SharePoint is kind of very scalable in its own kind of internal way. And the way that SharePoint works is that every SharePoint machine is potentially exactly the same. Every SharePoint machine can run a number of services, and all of these services are what make up SharePoint. So there are, again, like I mentioned, the Word services, Excel services, index services. There's a whole number of services that are available. Now, if you run all of those services on one machine, you're going to need a very large machine. Mm-hmm. But SharePoint gives you the ability to scale out by adding many machines that can run either one or many of the services. So you can slice those services horizontally and say, I'm just going to run all my machines over here. These will run Word. These machines will run Excel. These machines will run Index Server. So you theoretically have a very scalable platform built right into the way SharePoint works, and that works really well in the cloud because we can just spin up new machines very easily and then assign the roles or turn on or turn off the services that we want that machine to do.
That makes sense. What other kinds of architectures do you have here for SharePoint?
So what we see a lot of people doing now is that here in this scenario, people can come in from the internet and access our SharePoint firearm. This is sort of a FIS model, a SharePoint for Internet Sites model. But what we see a lot of companies doing as well is they say, well, I want SharePoint out there, but I don't want anybody on the internet to be able to access my SharePoint site. And so what we do here is using the VPN tunnel, people on the corporate network can come through the tunnel and access your SharePoint firearm, and it's totally closed off from the internet. So a very secure way to run SharePoint. People on your internal environment will go to a SharePoint site, and they may not even realize they're actually hitting resources that are in the cloud through the tunnel.
All right, well, you got a lot of VMs here. And I know that there's a pricing calculator, right, for Windows Azure that's out there. And that's cool, like, but a lot of people, right, I mean, they need to know roughly kind of their workloads and things. So how can somebody know maybe a little more accurately what this might cost to run in Windows Azure?
Yeah, well, I get that question a lot too, so yeah. I created an Excel spreadsheet that I consider like a pricing calculator. Let me show you what that looks like real quick here. So in this spreadsheet, there are a lot of numbers here, but basically we define what a farm is. We figure out how many machines we're going to have in that farm, and then we figure out the size of those machines, and then we just assign the price that's available on the pricing website from windowsazure.com, and then the spreadsheet just kind of calculates those. But this spreadsheet calculates more. It does, like, it assumes a full-on production farm, which means you have a primary farm, you might have a hot standby farm, you'll have things like supporting VMs for things like System Center or operations, or have SQL boxes in addition to your farm. You may have a development environment in the cloud as well, which people are doing now. So you'll have all your developers may have their own farm, and how many developers you have and what each developer will have, so you can figure out how many boxes a developer will need. Maybe you have a daily build machine for doing continuous integration or nightly builds of your SharePoint farm. You might have a testing environment where you have a full build. So there's a number of machines that you could do. The spreadsheet allows you to just kind of plug those in. Here in the last page of the spreadsheet, I have kind of the raw numbers of what they cost. This hasn't been updated with the GA numbers, but a lot of times customers put their own numbers in there because most of the time customers don't pay retail pricing. They have agreements, or they pay the 6-month price plan or the 12-month price plan.
Right.
So there's lots of numbers that they can plug in. They put them here on this one thing, and then it'll just go and recalculate all of your numbers. So over here on the right, you can see you just kind of roll through your entire farm and come up with some number. This is purely arbitrary and has really no meaning. But the spreadsheet, you know, take it, download it, put in your own numbers, figure out what you want, gives you a ballpark for what you want to do. Yeah. Now, it doesn't, right now, the spreadsheet doesn't take into account like storage or transaction costs or download. So there's lots of other little miscellaneous charges that aren't in here. This is really a ballpark for how much your VMs are going to cost.
Well, yeah, because, I mean, the compute, right, you're focused on compute, and the compute is going to be probably your biggest cost. So this should get you, hopefully, pretty close, right, to, you know, what you're thinking, give you a little better estimate than trying to manually, you know, go on the the Azure calculator and say how many VMs and how many sizes and all that.
That's
so
right, yeah.
Just type it in and be good to go. So that's awesome. So this is something that we are now releasing, right, as a part of the Edge show. So definitely we'll put the link up to this on our post for you to get.
Cool. Yeah.
Thanks, Paul, for that.
Sure.
So now, though, right, I mean, we've got some ideas of architecture, some ideas of pricing. What are some of those other unique advantages that you have with Windows Azure in being able to create SharePoint on Windows Azure versus, let's say, I've got virtual machines on my own on-premise infrastructure, right? Mm-hmm. What's something that's kind of unique there?
Well, one of the great things about the cloud is the ability to scale, right? I mean, and kind of the on-demandness. Like, if you walk into your manager and say, you know, I need 15 to 20 VMs, they'll say, okay, 6 months later, you're going to have your VMs in your environment. With the cloud, 10 minutes later, you have your entire farm up and running and everything's going, and you can easily scale up or scale down, or if the weekend comes and you're not working, you can tear down that farm and you're not paying for it. So, mm-hmm. you know, having that on-demand scale, having to only pay for when you're using it, I mean, those right there are huge kind of benefits too.
Right, and the other thing I know that we just added, right, for the the GA, is we have now a virtual machine gallery image for Windows Azure. So now not only, right, do you have the spin up, spin down, but you have this option of, wow, there's a predefined SharePoint-based template image that I could possibly use to add additional VMs or to build something, right?
Yeah, that's right. I mean, okay. It does save a lot of time because that getting that basic image up of SharePoint is fairly time-consuming. So this will save you a lot of time and make it easy to do.
So can we see it in action? Can we see a SharePoint farm creation in Windows Azure?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right.
So in this farm, so in this case, what I have is I've pre-created a virtual network. Mm-hmm. So I just went in and said create new virtual network in the portal. Mm-hmm. I used basically all the defaults, just said next, next, next. And then I created two other virtual machines to it, because what we need for SharePoint is an AD server. So SharePoint requires domain accounts. So we created a domain server for that. And then I created a SQL machine. Now the SQL also has a pre-built image. Mm-hmm. So I don't even need to install SQL. I can just go grab the SQL image and use that machine as it is already. So that's the state we're in right now. So I have AD, I have a domain called demo, I have a SQL box ready to go. All we need to do now is add our farm. So now we're going to create a new SharePoint VM. So we'll just do new virtual machine from the gallery. We can see we have a number of images in the gallery, including our SharePoint image that we want to use. So we'll just click on the next. We'll name the virtual machine. So let's call it SP App. We'll give it a new username, SP Admin. Give it our password.
Super secure password for our dev environment.
Choose our machine size. In this case, we're going to choose extra large for our machine to match the diagram that we showed you earlier. So we'll choose next. Connect to an existing machine, which is our AD machine that's part of our VNet that we created already. Choose our storage account. Choose the subnet that we have. We'll say next. And then we'll say next. And now our virtual machine is provisioning.
Okay, so pretty quickly there, we now have a SharePoint base VM that's there, right? And after this, what we'd need to just join it to the domain and then, what, run through the wizard?
Yeah, pretty much, right? Okay. Because, you know, we can't create an image of SharePoint after it's been sysprepped or imaged through a domain. So we have it at a kind of the base installation with all the prereqs done. So the next step, join the domain and run the psconfig.
Very cool. All right, so we added the new VM, right, the extra large VM, the SP app that we had there. And then just to save you some time, I know Paul went in, he joined it to the domain, and then rebooted it, and that's it, right? So now the next step is what?
So now we can just RDP to that machine, so open up a remote desktop connection to that machine.
Okay.
And now that we're domain joined, we can actually use the domain credentials.
Okay, so now you are logged in to the SharePoint app from the gallery.
And so this is the base image that Microsoft builds for you. Has SharePoint installed, has all the prereqs installed. We can see the common links to the side, link to central admin, link to the PowerShell command line, and then a link to the config wizard, which is what we want. So if we open the config wizard, then we're walking through normal SharePoint. We can just say, yes, I want to build a SharePoint farm. We can say, I want to create a new farm, so we'll say next. We can specify the database server, which is the one that we created earlier, which is SP SQL. We can specify a access account, so what we can use is, we'll use the demo domain.
And that SP SQL was from the SQL VM that you created earlier, right?
That's right, yeah.
Okay.
So now we specify a passphrase. The passphrase in SharePoint is the secret for other people to join the farm if they want to add additional machines. So we can make it whatever we want. We can specify the port number for our central admin. It gives you a random port. I like to just make it something easy to remember, so when I'm doing development, I can make that easy. You, if you were doing a real production, would want it to be random. We can choose, you know, other configuration information about the name of the database, and then we're done. So after this, as soon as our wizard finishes, we have our SharePoint farm.
All right, so that is pretty cool. I mean, right, so somebody can effectively spin up a new SharePoint farm and really not have to transfer any, you know, VMs from on-prem necessarily to the cloud for a SharePoint farm.
That's right. Yeah.
Right. And this was all obviously the GUI, but us IT pro guys, you know, if we're doing a lot of SharePoint farms up and down, hopefully we're not clicking all day long. What else do we got here?
Yeah, I mean, the management portal is fun. You know, you're at a bar, you want to show your friends, right? But if you're doing real work, PowerShell is the way that you do it.
Yeah.
So I have a number of PowerShell scripts on my blog that you can use as a starting point. We have some other more advanced scripts coming soon, so stay tuned for that. And there are lots of other blogs in the community that we'll add to the show notes and let you link to.
Very cool, very cool. All right. Any last places you'd like to let people know about before we close up here?
No, just go out to the Azure portal, try the VM, and get started.
Cool. All right. Thanks so much, Paul.
All right. Thanks.